Welcome back. You're listening to Morning Ireland at 14 minutes past eight. Look down the river from O'Connell Bridge in Dublin and you'll see the new bridge which is being built for the new Lewis line. And if you go up Dominic Street, as I happened to do yesterday, you'll see the work already started on this line, which will link the Maynooth railway line at Cabra with Phibsborough and the city centre, crossing the other two railway lines, continuing the other Lewis line and continuing on to Stephen's Green. The question is, how is it going to be paid for? The total bill is estimated at the moment at €368 million. The completion date, by the way, is the end of 2017. Leo Varadkar, Minister for Transport, Tourism and Sport, joins us. Minister, good morning and thanks for coming in.
Morning.
This is all about borrowing from the European Investment Bank. So is the deal done?
Yes, it is. The board of the European Investment Bank has endorsed the Lewis Cross City project and has agreed to provide a low interest loan to Ireland to help fund the cost of construction. They're willing to make up to €163 million available, which is roughly half the cost of the project. And in general, EIB interest rates are about 1% lower than the rate that the government would otherwise get on the market. So that means significant savings over the next couple of years.
What will the interest rate be?
The interest rate isn't actually agreed yet, but the general principle is that the EIB funds half the cost of a project if they endorse it and do so at a rate about 1% lower than the market rate at the time. So if you figure 1% of 160 million is 1.6 million, but if that was over 20 years, you'd be talking savings of over 30 million in the service cost of the project.
This will run across the city centre. It will link the red and the green lines. But 368 million, are you still totally convinced that given the state of the country we can afford this?
I am, and I think it may even come in a little bit lower than that, but I suppose we won't know that until 2017 or 2018. There'll be 800 jobs created in construction, 60 when it's finished. But it's not just about linking the existing Lewis lines or even linking Lewis to the commuter rail network, which it will do. It really transforms rail-based public transport in the greater Dublin area. So it'll make all sorts of journeys possible that aren't possible now. So just to give you two examples, for example, you could get on the train in Maynooth or Leixlip and get out in Dundrum Shopping Centre. You'll be able to get on the Lewis and Houston Station, get out at Trinity College, take the Lewis from Sandyford to the O2. So it'll add about 8 to 10 million journeys per year to the rail network. In addition to that, we'll take about 3 million car journeys off the roads. And that's really significant. You could take half the railway network in the rest of the country. Wouldn't do that.
Have you any reason to think that the headaches for retailers who were affected when the roadworks entered their street will be any less than they were for the previous two lines when it caused a lot of unhappiness
and
disruption?
Yeah, I do. We've built two Lewis lines already, one extension and one spur. So a lot has been learned from the first time it was done. There will be disruption, no doubt about that, but the city will stay open for business. At the moment, this week, there are information meetings with businesses north and south of the Liffey. I chair a group which involves the key business interests, just to make sure that there's a minister on top of this. Next week, we'll open an office in the Royal Hibernian Way, just off Grafton Street, and at the public information office, where people can come in and see the plans, have someone to talk to if there's something wrong. So we're doing really everything we can to minimise the disruption, but there will be some disruption. There's no denying that.
Just before we leave this subject, there is talk now another cheaper metro system being on offer. Is there any point in even thinking about it?
Not really. I suppose, first of all, for two reasons, is that we don't have the money at the moment to build an underground railway. We'll look at that again in 2015 with a view to the next plan in 2017. But, there are a lot of railway enthusiasts out there and there are loads of people who will come to you. I used to meet them all in the first year. I don't anymore. But there are loads of people who come to you promising you that they can, build an underground metro for you at half the cost and twice the time. When you actually ask them to stand over their own figures, they generally can't do it. And you know, it's realistic projects with realistic costings that I'm interested in.
Looking to the more immediate future, we end the Troika's period of rule on the 15th of December, and as things stand, it looks like the power will be switched off the day after the 16th of December, with the ESB Group of Unions starting their industrial action from then. Now, we've had David Fitzsimons from Retail Excellence Ireland in earlier saying that this is, well, criticising unions for, as he puts it, not being in the same world as everybody else. He says that the government should respond to this with legislation to prevent or ban industrial action which could have such a devastating effect on the economy.
Well, I think, first of all, this seems to me to be a very unnecessary dispute. There are a lot of pension funds in Ireland that are in trouble. The ESB pension fund is not one of them. According to the pension fund, pensions board rather, it's fully funded up until 2018 and would actually be in surplus after that. There was a deal done a couple of years ago whereby the company injected a couple of hundred million into the pension scheme. And that's money that could have come to us as shareholders and taxpayers. And also the workers agreed to take a reduction in the benefits they thought they were
going
to get.
There's still a hole in the fund.
There is, but you know, almost every second the defined benefit pension scheme has a deficit in at the moment. But what you have to do is agree a funding plan that will bring it back to financial health, and that's been agreed in the case of ESB. So what this is a dispute over the accounting treatment of it, whether it's a DB scheme in the accounts or a DC scheme in the accounts. So nobody's job is being threatened here, nobody's being asked to take an additional pay cut, and nobody's pension is under threat. So, you know, it seems to me that this rush into industrial action really is unnecessary and unwarranted. Now, I do welcome the fact that the unions and the management are going to talk this week, but hopefully they can agree some sort of process that will allow them to lift this threat on people running into Christmas, which is totally unnecessary in my view.
Could you see the idea of legislation which David Fitzsimons says should be considered at least to ban strikes on a utility that could cause such havoc?
Well, that does exist in some countries where there's an essential public service. There can be a legislative strike ban, but that usually is linked to something else. It's linked to a sort of labour court process. So, for example, before someone could go on strike, they would have to go to the labour court, or in some cases, they would have to accept that the labour court's recommendation is binding. It's also in other countries linked to legislation that underlines the right of people to join a union and be represented by their union, which is the right to collective bargaining. So I don't know if the government's going to want to go down that route, but if we did, I don't think you could do it in a draconian way that would just take away the rights of workers to withdraw their labour without having some sort of mechanism that they would be able to have their rights protected. And usually that's done through an established right to collective bargaining, and in addition to that a labour court or a sort of judicial process that would then be binding on both sides.
If a strike goes ahead, it will look terrible as well as feeling terrible. It was out of the Troika one day and then national power strikes the next.
Yeah, well, it may well look terrible, but it's not how it would look that really bothers me. It's the impact on businesses, on schools, on primary healthcare centres, for example, and then just on households and families. So, like I say, this to me seems like an unnecessary dispute and an unreasonable threat. No one's job is being threatened. No one is being asked to take an additional pay cut, and no one's pension is under threat. So, really, I'd like to see both sides step back from the brink and engage with each other in the week ahead.
All right, Minister, thank you. By the way, the Irish Times reporting this morning that, as promised by the Taoiseach, we're going to see very soon legislation to implement the referendum in 1979 on a Seanad vote for all graduates of all third-level colleges, which is grand but very limited. Is that, are we going to see any other reform in the lifetime of this government, given that the people have voted to keep the Seanad?
Well, I think it's very important to say that that's just the first step, and it's a small first step to reforming the Seanad, and the Taoiseach has made that very clear. Changing anything else is going to require consensus, and that's always been the problem with reform of the Seanad. Everybody wants it in theory. When they look at the different proposals, there really isn't a consensus behind any of them. Changing the Taoiseach's nominees, for example, would require another referendum. Getting rid of the five rather antediluvian panels that date back to the 1930s, that would require another referendum as well. So I think what we'd have to really do is find a consensus around how we can reform
the other ways. There's a fair amount that can be done without a referendum.
I'm not sure there really is. Like people say, for example, you know, opening up the five panels to the general franchise. But when you actually think and work that out in practice, it's extremely difficult to do that. And the panels are totally out of date. You know, if you take, for example, that there's, you know, a panel for agriculture, but not one for the technology industry now, which in modern Ireland is surely just as important. There's a panel for education and culture, but none for sport or tourism. You know, so a lot of these things, none for health, for example. A lot of these things, you know, if we're going to try reform the Senate, let's try and get a consensus around what people want that reform to be.
Leo Varadkar, Minister, thank you very much. 8:23.